All right, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at something just for a few minutes here. I want to share with you about this. We're thankful. I am thankful for each of you guys that are here. I hope this will be a blessing to you. I hope this will be something that the Lord can use in your life. And just to encourage you into greater service for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, in our youth group, we always say that we strive we're here to assist parents in producing five-star Christian teenagers. That's something you see in different places, something we talk about from time to time. And one of those areas is a surrender to service. And really, when you look at the area of surrender, when you look at the area of being soul burdened, when you look at the area of studying the Word of God, those are three areas that this class, this SWAT class, Seeking Wisdom and Truth, is all about. And helping you to be surrendered to the things of God and studying the Word of God. And certainly whenever you share the Word of God, there is a burden for other people. Otherwise, you just keep it to yourself and just do your own devotions. But those are three areas specifically that we're looking at to develop inside of you. And so we hope this will be a blessing, an asset. We're excited about having the girls here this year and looking to do some things with them. And we're even excited that Billy's here with us today. And we're glad that each of you can be here. It's good to see John here tonight. And PJ, these guys are first-timers on the guys' side of it. And so we'll get into some stuff later with them. I brought tonight, I don't think I'm going to show it to the girls, but I brought a couple of things. What? Oh, I got to? It's kind of embarrassing, to be quite honest. It's the third time I ever preached. And then also my homiletics class where they videoed me in college. But I watched it this morning and I thought, I'm not showing this to too many people. But I just want to show you, maybe I will show a little bit to the girls, but I'd rather not. But let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, ask God to use this time to His honor and glory. And then we'll look at this lesson real quick before we break up from the guys and the girls. Father, we're thankful to be here today and we want to be used of You. And I believe that each young person that's here today has that desire as well. Some may be a little more than others. Maybe some are more excited about it than others. Some probably, Lord, are better naturally equipped than others to speak and to be in front of people and to just give out information concerning the Word of God. But, Lord, we know that You are looking for people that are just simply available to be used of You. And, Lord, I just pray that each one of these young people in their heart would consider themselves to be so, just available, God, to whatever You would want to do. And Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. You remember Moses went and he was in Egypt, and he fled Egypt because of the murder that he committed. And he has now found himself a wife and a family on the backside of this desert, a long ways away from Egypt. And does anybody know how old Moses was when he left Egypt? How old? He was 40. Does anybody know how old he is in Exodus chapter 3?
80.
He's 80, yeah. He's been on the backside of the desert for about 40 years, half of his life. And he's been there, and God has been preparing him for a specific time to do a specific task. And God begins, and we all know this story of the burning bush, and that's where our chapter is here today. In verse 2 it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." In verse 3, though, we find our first point that we want to look at today as we consider the question, can God use me? And here's some questions to consider. First of all, number one, do you desire to be used by God? I think it's important to note in verse 3 that it says here, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." It's kind of interesting that here we go, here's a man out in the middle of the desert, and all of a sudden this bush is on fire. And the big deal seems to be that it wasn't consumed. I've read some different things that said this was perhaps because of the heat, because of the desert, that this was maybe a normal occurrence where bushes, little bulrush things, or we kind of think of those tumbleweeds that kind of roll across the desert. I kind of think of that on 5 Goes West, you know. But those things would just kind of spontaneously combust because of the heat, because of the atmosphere and the temperature there. But the interesting thing to Moses was this one was not consumed. And there was something special about this, interesting about it. And it was almost as if he could have had the choice really to say, you know what, I don't really care. This is kind of something that happens all the time. But he had a desire to seek out this certain instance here and to look and to see what was going on. There's something different here. And through desire, Moses began to separate himself to kind of find out what was going on here. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:1 that through desire, a man separateth himself, seeketh and intermeddleth after knowledge. And I believe more than anything, one of the greatest ways that God works in your heart to use you is through a desire. You know, sometimes we have to be honest. We don't feel like, serving God. We don't feel like maybe doing the right thing. There are times that we have that. But I think also, if we're honest with ourselves, there is inside each one of us some type of desire, if you're saved today, to serve God. There is a desire. And God, if God calls you to full-time Christian service, if God calls you to be a Sunday school teacher, if God calls you to be a bus worker, I believe one of the greatest ways that He'll do that is through a desire. God's not going to call you somewhere and you're going to say, oh man, here I am, stuck in Ocala. I'm the youth pastor. And man, I hate this. But I'm doing God's will, and that's just what God wants me to do. So I'll just keep plugging away, and hopefully these kids won't kill me, before the Lord does. There is not a place, there is not another job, there's not anything that I'd rather be doing, and I believe with all my heart that's because God's given me a desire to do what He's called me to do. It's not because I'm somebody special, it's not because I'm stronger than someone else or I have more mental toughness than anybody else. No, it's because when God calls us and gives us a ministry, when God calls us and gives us an opportunity, I believe with all my heart He gives us a desire to do that, a God-given desire. It's His grace. It's His goodness. My wife and I were walking past Russ McDonald the other day, and here come all the fifth graders. And he's sixth graders, excuse me. And they're like, sixth graders, like, wow. And I walked by him, and I thought, God's grace is so diverse. Because, to be quite honest, I don't know how in the world I could handle sixth graders all day long. I mean, I could take them for 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes. I could preach to them. We could play on the playground. But to be with them all day long, I think I'd pull my hair out and I'd go nuts. But you know what? Mr. McDonald's just walking along like it's no big deal. He's having a good time. And certainly there would be challenging days. But you know what? God's grace has given Mr. McDonald some strange, awkward desire to teach sixth grade. I'll never understand it. There are people that come to me often and they'll say, Pastor Loma, I don't know how in the world you work with teenagers. I mean, they are just the most frustrating species on the face of the planet. And I'm like, oh, really? I didn't know this. I'm having a time of my life. And that's because there is, first of all, I believe, a God-given desire to work and to serve and to minister where God has put you. You know what? There's somebody who says, well, I kind of like to maybe learn how to preach a little bit, and I don't know what God would do with me. I'm not sure how God would use me in the future or perhaps later on in high school or when I get out of high school. But I'll tell you this, whatever it is that God wants you to do, He's also going to give you a desire to do it. So you're not going to be miserable in serving the Lord. But we see Moses here. There is a desire to search out and see what's going on there. The psalmist said this, we delight ourselves in the law of the Lord, and He'll give us the desires of our heart. He'll give us new desires. He'll give us godly desires. And they come by the grace of God. Secondly, a question to consider is this. Is God calling you to be used of Him? Is God calling you to be used of Him? The Bible says, and when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. This is interesting. God was waiting. God was waiting on Moses to kind of have that desire to be drawn away and say, oh, what's going on over there? And for Moses to seek it out. And then the Bible says, well, when God saw that he began to speak to Moses. And he began to call Moses. And I think that both things, obviously, in our life, when we surrender the ministry, when we answer a call to God's will in our life, I believe it starts with a desire that comes from the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. But then also there is a calling that God gives to us. Not everybody can be a preacher, guys. It's only the people that God calls me. And God's not going to call everyone to be a preacher. Ladies, some of you want to be a missionary. And that's fantastic. And you marry a man that's a missionary and you can go and serve the Lord there. Or perhaps you'll be single all your life and God will allow you to be a missionary in some instance. But this is the case every time is that when that when we do something for the Lord, we want to make sure of God's calling in our life. Now, here's what I personally believe about full-time Christian service. And I think that God would call each and every one of us. I think there's very few people that God would say, you know what, I'd rather you not do that. I'd rather you do something over here. The Bible says that the laborers are few, and God needs labor. God wants laborers in the harvest, and He's asking us to pray for that so that there'll be more people to go out into the harvest. There'll be more people that give their life to serve God in a full-time way. But there is a calling that comes from God. When you have an ordination as a pastor, and some of you have been, what is that? Well, that's where the preachers of the church, the deacons of the church, they examine a person to say, this man is qualified for the gospel ministry. This man is qualified as a preacher. He is saved. He has a desire to preach. Not only that, but people, other Christian, other godly people, can sense and see the call of God in their life. They see God using him. They see people being saved under his ministry. And they somewhat, although they're not the Holy Spirit, they're not God, they're there as kind of spiritual advisors to say, you know what, there is a call of God in this man's life, and we can see that. But we don't, I want to encourage you, don't be a preacher. Don't be in full-time Christian service unless you're certain that God is calling you into that. And I think probably God takes more volunteers than people that actually volunteer. And God will give that a call through desire. If God, and this is what I think. I think if we say, okay, God, I want to do that. I want to be a missionary. I want to go to Africa. Send me. God says, no. Not you. No. Sit back down. No, because I think even in here in Moses, we see that Moses had that desire to go, what's going on over there? He wanted to see it, check it out. And God said, as I saw Moses kind of separate himself and go to seek that out, then God began to call him. Then God began to work in his life and to show him some things. So the question we ask is God calling you to be used of him? Thirdly, are you available to be used of God? The Bible says that Moses responded, here am I. Are you available to be used by God? You know, I think it's absolute sin for a young person to say, no, God, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I remember the most miserable 17 months of my life. It was from the time when God started calling me to preach until the time when I said, yes, Lord, here am I. I mean, I tried every which way. I tried to make a deal with God. I tried to be a football coach and a Christian school teacher. I tried to, do some different things and say, God, this is what I'll do, and here's my plan, and here. And no, God wanted me just to say, here I am. I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do. I am available to you. Listen, God's not looking for people that are super talented, okay? He's just looking for someone that's available. And Moses said, here I am, Lord. And you can use me. Samuel said the very same thing. Fourthly, are you willing to be used however God wants? And this is kind of a building off of number 3. But in verse 11, the Bible says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Can you imagine how Moses was used to just handling those sheep? I mean, maybe he had 1,000 sheep. Maybe he had 10,000 sheep. But that's nothing in comparison to going back to Egypt, standing in front of Pharaoh, in front of all those magicians, in front of all those smart people, in front of the most popular people of the known world at the time, and telling him, God wants you to let his people go and to lead at least 1 million people out of Egypt into a land that God promised to give them once they get there. I mean, think about the thing, and God, and Moses said, almost maybe in a sense, says, God, I'd like to live for you. I'd like to serve you. I'd like to do what you want me to do. But God, I don't think, who am I that I could go and do that? And the question, and the thing that we see here is that Moses really was nobody. Moses, nobody. It had nothing to do with who Moses was, but it had everything to do with who God was. And that's what he tells him. He says, I am. And that's what he gets. He says, who I say sent me? And he says, tell him, I am sent me. And he begins to remind him of how great that he is. You know, you may think even this little thing about preaching the last Wednesday night of the month of March. You may think, God, you know, who am I? I don't know what to say. I don't have any funny jokes to tell. I don't have any good stories to share. I don't know what verse I'm going to use. I don't know when I speak in junior church or in one of the children's churches. You know, I don't know what I say. Man, those kids, they scare me to death. They're gonna eat me alive. Listen, the thing is that we want to be willing and available to do whatever it is that God wants us to do. And we must remember that the sufficiency, the ability, is not of ourselves. We're nobody. But God, the God that we serve, the God that's asked you to do something, the God that calls you, the God that gives you the desire, He's the one that's going to strengthen you. He's the one that's going to help you, whether it be in teaching, whether it be in soul winning, whether it be in doing your devotions on every day or standing up for Him. He's the one that's going to help you with that. Now, as we turn the page, I just want to look at a few things. We see some questions to ask. We look at some excuses to overcome. In verse 3 and 11, we've already talked about this one just a second, but it said, number one, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. He said, who am I? I mean, I'm just a shepherd. I'm over here in the backside of the desert. You want me to do what? You want me to go where? You want me to lead who? He says, I'm nobody. And the reality is, like I've already said, is that we have to get over that fact, that excuse. We can't use that excuse. God knows that you're nobody. God knows that there's more people that are other people that are more talented than you, that have other things going on, and that may seem to be more successful. But again, God is not looking for the greatly talented person. God is looking for the available person. We can serve, and we can minister, and we can preach, and we can teach, and we can be a missionary, or we could be a deacon in a church, and they can teach a Sunday school class. Whatever it is that we do, it's simply by the grace of God. Moses said, I'm nobody. And I believe that God said, you know what, Moses? You're right. But I am. I am. And God is sufficient to help us. Number two, I don't know what to say. Anybody feel like that? Like if you had to stand up here right now and preach, or you had to teach a lesson, you'd say, I don't know what to say. I don't know what I would say. Look at verse 13, if you will. The Bible says this, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of our fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? He says, I don't know exactly what to say. Moses tells them, verse 14, say, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. You go on to kind of look through those verses, and all the way through the end of chapter 3, God gives them exactly what He wants them to say. Can I tell you this? Is that at any time that God, if God gives you an opportunity to speak, if God gives you an opportunity to teach, He's going to tell you what to say. He's going to show you. Now you have to be sensitive and listen to that. You want to walk with the Spirit. I remember last week I was thinking about what I was going to preach in chapel this morning. And I thought, you know, I have a really good idea. All this is a good message. Things are coming together. I'm studying, looking great. And somewhere on Saturday afternoon, I was reading a book, and God began to show a couple thoughts, and I began to think about it, and it just would not leave me, and it wouldn't go away. And I began to study that passage on the prodigal son, and it was like I had never read it before. It was like a brand new story. I'm thinking, man, and I just couldn't write fast enough to put those thoughts down on the paper. And I thought, you know what, this is, you know, and that's learning to be sensitive to what God would want you to say, would want you to speak on. I know John has an opportunity to speak in his church next week or the week after. And John, you say, what do I speak on? What do I say? Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real and He lives inside of you, and He will help you. He will lead you into all knowledge. The Bible says, we don't know what to say. God will provide the message. God will provide the message. He even said to His disciples, I'm going to send you out two by two in the New Testament. I want you to go out and be a witness. I want you to tell other people. I want you to do these things. And he said this, don't give any thought to what you'll say. For in the time that you need to say something, for in the time you need an answer, I'll provide it for you. Now, I think that we need to do our part in preparing. We need to do our part. If you never read the Bible, if you never think about things of God, and you stand up to preach on God or talk about God, you're going to have a problem. We do. The Bible tells us that the horse is prepared for the day of battle. There's preparation that has to go on, but the battle is the Lord's. Okay? And God takes care of the victor. God takes care of those who win and those who lose, but we have to do our part to prepare. I don't know what to say. Thirdly, I won't be very popular. I won't be very popular. Verse 4 of chapter 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. That's not the right passage. Maybe it is verse 1, I think, because it says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And they'll say, you know what? They're not going to believe me. They're not going to accept my message. I'm going to go and I'm going to tell them that you came to me in this burning bush. I'm going to tell them that you sent me over here, whatever, this shepherd on the backside of the desert, this nobody. I'm going to come over here and tell these people what you want to do, and they're not going to accept me, Lord. But God gave him and equipped him with some miracles to show him evidence that this was that God was his messenger. And the reality is, guys, that there will be times when you will speak, especially for guys who are preaching, maybe so a little different environment than perhaps in a Sunday school class or a junior church or something like that. But even in that, there will be people who will not accept what you have to preach. It won't always be popular for sharing the truth. I wonder this morning how popular it was to talk to the seniors and tell them that the Bible says they don't know how to discern what's right and what's good. I'm sure my name was a lovely name throughout the school day. And it's not that I say that to say, I'm pretty cool because I make people mad. That's not the point. But I understand it's not a very popular thing. It's not a very easy thing to say. And there will be times when people reject what you had to say. But it is the truth. And it is God's message. And He's called you to deliver it. And so we must do it. There will be times you won't be very popular. Number 4, he says, I'm not very talented. I'm not very talented. How many of you feel under-talented to preach the Word of God or to give a Bible lesson? I think all of us would probably fit in that category. In fact, if you feel like, you know what, I got this, I can do this, no big deal, that's when you should worry. That's when you should worry. Because pride is followed by a fall. But when we are humble in the sight of the Lord and recognize that we need God to do this, the Bible says that He will lift us up. James chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. He goes, I don't even know how to talk. I trip over myself. I stutter. I don't know what to say. But God said, you know what? I'm not looking for someone that's talented. I'm looking for someone that's available. And that's certainly a theme of these early parts of Exodus. Number 5, I'm not the best choice. For Moses said, and he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, verse 14, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. He said, Moses basically said, God, don't you remember that my brother Aaron, he's already over in Egypt? He's a Levite. He's a priest. He's up in front of people all the time. He speaks. He knows more about it than I do. Why don't you send him? I'm not the most talented person. And why don't you leave me alone? I'm kind of comfortable over here being a shepherd and doing what I do. Send someone else. You know what God says to him? He says, don't you think that I know what Aaron is and what Aaron does and what his job is, but I didn't choose Aaron to do this. I chose you to do this. I want to use you. And I know you're not the most talented person, but you are the one that I want to use. Sure, there'd be better choices perhaps in the world. Someone who has a degree in speech or someone who has a degree even in preaching perhaps or a Bible degree. But the thing is that God is giving you an opportunity to serve. God is giving you an opportunity to grow. I think it's interesting that a lot of this had less to do with the children of Israel and more to do with God's work in the life of Moses. Because I know for a fact that the greatest recipient of my preaching, okay, and my ministry has been myself. It's been myself. I mean, I'm sure people get a blessing and people tell you, oh, you did a great job, that was a help, I appreciate that, appreciate what you said about that. But the number one person that's benefited from my preaching has been myself. Because I've had to spend time in the Word of God. I've had to get to know God better. I've had to stand up for the Lord and different things that have allowed me to grow by His grace in His strength and in His power. And I think a lot of it had to do with what God wanted to do in Moses' life. You say, well, I don't know that I'll be a big blessing to people in the church or to people in the junior church when I speak. You may not be. You may not be. But you know what? If you'll do everything you're supposed to do in preparing and studying and getting to know the text or getting to know the God of the text that you're going to speak on or preach on or teach on, you will benefit. You will draw closer to God. And that's one of the best parts about this opportunity. Let's look quickly at personal development. We see Moses goes from awful to all-star. Here's something I'm not going to spend time, but I want you, if some of you may be down and say, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how God would use this. In chapter 4 and verse 10, we find Moses where he says that I am slow of speech. I don't know what to say. Then we find him in a little bit later in the next chapter. He said, God says, I'm going to send Aaron. He's going to help you. And you're going to tell Aaron what I say. And then Aaron's going to talk to Pharaoh. And then in the middle there, we see Moses being assisted as they go into Pharaoh's presence. And the Bible says that Moses and Aaron spoke to Pharaoh. But then by the end of the story and his dealings with the Egyptians and with Pharaoh in chapter 8 and chapter 10 and chapter 12, chapter 14, we find this, that Moses is in the presence of Pharaoh and Aaron. There's no mention of Aaron. Moses is speaking all by himself. And so we see the personal development of even the man Moses who God chose to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And there was a time when he could not fly. And so he crawled. And then he walked. And then he began to fly. And there is a sense of personal development. You say, Pastor Woman, I don't know that I could do it like you do it. And I don't think I'm anything great, but you may think that. And I tell you, there was a time, there was a time when I preached my first message. There was a time, I remember the first message I preached was at Northside Baptist Church across town here, and I spoke on the tongue, and I used in my message a tube of toothpaste. And I stumbled all over the thing about how you put your words out, but it's hard to get them back in. You can't get them back in. And the toothpaste, you squeeze out of the bottle, but you can't get it back in. And I look at that now, I think, oh my, that's true. I think, man, what a mess I made of that whole, of that whole thing. And I probably did. Certainly, it sure was a blessing to me. It was a help. It was experience. And you know what? Probably now I probably preach 1,000 times. But you know what? There's still times I make a mess of things. There are still times that I stutter. There are still times I forget what to say. But certainly I hope maybe you've even seen it. I hope that I've been developing in my preaching. You know what? It'll be a continual work. We were at Crown last week and I heard a guy preach and I thought, man, if I could just preach like that for 5 minutes, I could die and be a happy man. And you'll always maybe find someone that's more talented, better at it than you. But that's not the point. It's not the point. The point is that God wants to use you and that God will develop you. And it does take time. It does take experience. So, Pastor Rome, I've done this before. Well, yeah, I understand that maybe you've done it before. I understand that maybe you've spoken and you've done a devotion and you're a class chaplain and you have those things. But the more practice you can get, the more opportunity you have to speak, praise the Lord that God can use you. Praise the Lord you're getting a chance to develop the skills and the abilities that God has given you. You are the best candidate, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. We'll just fill in these blanks and continue on for the sake of time. But the Bible says that God has chosen the foolish things of this world, the weak things of this world, the abased things of this world, so that He can show Himself strong, so that He can show His power on our behalf and on His behalf. So here's the questions. Number one, are you foolish? The Bible says you use the foolish things to confound the wise. Are you weak? The Bible says he uses the weak things to overthrow those that are mighty. Are you abased? And that means kind of the low man on the totem pole. These are the type of people that God uses, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26-31. The question is, do you believe in the power of God? Again, I know I've already said it this afternoon, but it has nothing to do with your talents. But it has everything to do with your availability of being used by God. Okay? And teenager, you may be done with the SWAT course and we would do everything we can to help you, and you may stutter all the way through a 5-minute message or a 10-minute story or whatever it is. But it's not even about the presentation of it. We could let you listen to a message that we have on tape from a man. His name is David Ring. And he has cerebral palsy, and he stutters like you would not believe. But you know what? He preaches every day of the year. And God uses him in a great and mighty way. It has nothing to do with talent. It has everything to do with your availability to God. So I hope that you'll just make yourself available. I think you already have by being here. But continue to do so. The next week, things will not be as long like what I just did here. I want to kind of launch that off. We'll have a short challenge at the beginning of each week. But here's what we're going to do at this time.